Matthew chapter 9. We'll be looking at verses 35 through 37, I believe. Matthew 9, verse 35. It says here, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day you've given to us. We thank you for the privilege to get to be here in your house this evening. We thank you for everything you've already done today, for giving us such a wonderful day, for health, for strength, for allowing us to be here, allowing this time of worship, this time of fellowship we've had. And now, Father, these next few minutes, I ask you, please, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Give me the words you'd have me to speak. Nothing more, nothing less. I need of you, Father. I thank you for what you've done, and we give you all the honor and the glory and the praise for what you do. In your name we pray. Amen. I want to take a few minutes and talk to you about being like Christ. To be like Christ will be the theme, the title, if you will. To be like Christ. Who was Jesus Christ? Who was Jesus Christ? We read through the Gospels. I enjoy reading through the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The life of Christ. It's so I find it so interesting, so intriguing to read about Jesus Christ, this man, this very unique man, this man that was 100% God yet 100% man at the same time, the only person to ever exist with this status, and the unique stories of reading about him and the places he would go and the things he would do, and he's always healing someone somewhere, and he's doing all these different things in the life of Christ. And I believe this passage sums up, if you will, the life of Christ. If we see that here in verse 35, and without going into in-depth study and seeing lots of different passages of his life, but verse 35, it says here, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." So here it kind of breaks down what Jesus Christ was doing, what his life was all about. And it says here he went, he was going to every city and village. Essentially, he's going to everywhere there is people. And it says, what's he doing in these places? He's teaching in their synagogues. He's teaching the word of God, and he's preaching the gospel. He's telling people how they can get to heaven someday, and he's healing. He's doing good things for others. And this is what you see in the life of Christ. And if you think back in your memory about reading through Scripture and the preaching you've heard of Jesus Christ, the picture of this man will come to mind. This man that was very busy about the things of God. This man that was consumed with advancing his Father's kingdom. This man that was nonstop going from place to place, and everywhere he goes, he's healing people, and then he's preaching here, and he's doing this miracle, and he's working with his disciples, and he's training them, and all nonstop each and every day of the week. And consistently in his time of full-time ministry that God had given him there to do. And this is the example you see of Jesus Christ. And then I want to take you, if you'll turn with me real quick, to 1 Corinthians. I'm sorry, to Acts 11. Turn with me to Acts 11. I want you to see something. Acts 11, verse 26. It says here, "And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch." The disciples are called Christians first in Antioch. So here's a story also of in a different city, in a different place, right after the time, a few years after Jesus Christ had already ascended into heaven. He had raised himself from the grave and he had gone to heaven. And this wasn't very much time after this that here in Antioch and this church, there's this group of Christians, right? It says the disciples and this group of Christians, and they're serving God, they're living for God, they're trying to do what's right, they're preaching the gospel message, and they're doing what they're commanded to do, as we see in Scripture. And God, by the way, commands us to go to the whole world and tell everyone and every creature. And they're doing this, and these people in Antioch see the life of this group here, this group of Christians, as we call ourselves today, of disciples. And these people say, you know what, this group looks a lot like, they remind me of this man called Jesus. This man called Jesus, the Christ. And by the way, Jesus Christ back in that time was very well known. This was a big deal. The supposed king of the Jews that was crucified, the man that did miracles and fed thousands, the man that they would raise the dead from the tomb, and so on and so forth. This Jesus Christ, the Christ, was a very well-known figure at that time. And people all around had heard about him, and they knew about his life, and they knew how he lived. And these people in Antioch, these people that did not believe in Christ, probably, they did not believe in Christ, but these people saw another group of individuals that lived so much like Christ that they called them Christians. They called them Christians. And I imagine back at that time, it probably wasn't the most a wonderful name to be called a Christian. In a way, it probably wasn't used in the most polite ways, and it probably was used more as a slang word. Or look at over there, those people that think they're like Christians, they're like that man called the Christ, who's probably used kind of in a negative sense in that way. But the more the story is, here's a group of Christ followers that lived so much like Jesus Christ that the world saw them and saw Christ in them. Saw Christ in these people. And we are to be, Scripture tells us, like Christ. We are to be like Christ. Jesus tells us, and God tells us in His Word, He says, if I be lifted up, and He's referring to the cross, right? And if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. And we know He's obviously talking about the cross, and He went to the cross, but He's also talking about our personal lives today. If we live a Christ-like life as we see in God's Word, He will be lifted up. We will live a Christ-like life, and the world will see Christ in us, and we'll be drawn to Him. By the way, that is the remedy. That is what we need in this world today. We need people that don't just say, I'm a Christian, but actually live a Christ-like life. Live a Christ-like life. You've heard the saying, you know, words are cheap. It's easy to say, oh, I'm a Christian, you know, and I am a Christian. I'm proud to carry the name Christian today. And probably everybody, if I asked you today, you know, you'd say, I'm a Christian. And we're proud to say that, and we have no problem saying that. But my question today is, do we live like Christ? Do we live a Christ-like life? If you look at the Scripture here, verse 35, you turn back to Matthew 9:35. Says here, and Jesus went. Jesus was busy. Jesus was busy about the things of God. He's busy advancing His Father's kingdom. He went to every city, every village, teaching and preaching and healing. You see, Jesus didn't live a Christian life, if you will, on Sunday morning only, or just on Sunday. And then Monday through Saturday lived however He felt like. You won't see that anywhere in Scripture. You won't find that in Scripture any form of example where Jesus Christ goes to serve God on a Sunday, if you were on a Saturday, but then the rest of the week just does whatever and has no example. You won't see that in Scripture. You see just the opposite. You see a man that is nonstop, day in, day out, in some form or some fashion, he is working to advance his Father's kingdom. Maybe he's traveling from one city to the next. He's in the back of that time, most of the traveling was done on foot. And it took a long time to go from one place to another. Maybe he's traveling, or maybe I'm picturing him with his disciples and sitting with his disciples maybe at breakfast in the morning as they sit around a fire and they're eating some good bacon and eggs there and they're having a good time of fellowship and he's teaching them the Word of God. Or I think of Jesus and I think of him on the hillside and he's preaching to thousands of people at one time. And what an incredible thing. And I think of Jesus and you think of him with doing all these incredible miracles and giving people their sight and healing the leper and so on. And everybody he finds that comes across his pathway that has this illness or this disease, where he'd heal them. He's doing good things for anybody and everybody, essentially. It's what it would translate to us today, doing good things. And then I think of Jesus, how he would go out of his way to share the gospel with just one person, like the woman at the well. Jesus Christ lived a life obsessed, if you will, consumed with advancing his Father's kingdom. And this is the example we find in Scripture. You won't find any other example of Christ. You find a Jesus Christ, when you study the life of Christ, you find a man that is consumed to his core. Everything he did was all about advancing his Father's kingdom. And yet we are to be Christians, or call ourselves Christians. But how close does our life today resemble Christ? I have sad to say that so many times in my life, I look at my life and I say, you know what? I don't look much like a Christian. You know, so many of us today, we're so used to being good people. And by the way, we need to be good people. But good people don't turn the world upside down. If the disciples would have just been good people, the gospel would not have spread. We need to be way more than good people. But so many times I find that we get stuck in this mold where we're good people. You know, we go to church, right? We're here today. We're here in God's house. We hear preaching and we give of the tithes and we give to missions and we maybe serve a little bit in the church and so on. But then the rest of the week, we tune out. Our brains go. We're focusing on work and we're focusing on saving money to buy the next car we're going to buy or the next phone or for retirement or this or that. And not bad things, but we get so caught up in this world and functioning and working for this world and thinking about the things of this world and so caught up in sports and consumed with sports and all the different things of this world. And yet people die and go to hell by the hundreds of thousands every day. Because we're not living a Christ-like life. Yet we get so consumed with our lives and what we're doing. And we say, and the pastor says, well, you need to live for God. And you say, well, yeah, but I'm a good person. I go to church and yeah, I give and I do my part. But really down inside our heart isn't really in tune with Christ. We're not in tune with as Jesus was. And he was consumed with trying to get the gospel message to someone else. You know, Scripture tells us we're to pray without ceasing. And I believe if Jesus Christ, and there's many examples in Scripture telling us about his time in prayer, but I believe he spent a constant state of prayer everywhere he goes and everything he was doing. He'd be talking to his Father. He'd be saying, God, Father, guide me to the next person. Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? Who do you want me to talk to? Who do you want me to heal today? How do you want to use me today? Where town should I go to? You know, we can do the same today. You might not work in a full-time capacity. You're not, maybe not paid to serve God, if you will, but yet we are to be Christians yet, regardless. We're all to be Christians. If you've received the free gift of salvation, you become a child of God, adopted into God's family. Now, our primary purpose in life is to tell other people about Jesus Christ. That's our job. And we should be in tune our hearts and our minds into being like Christ and to seek to be more like Christ. And what would that mean? That would mean having a heart, first of all, and surrender and saying, God, I want to serve you. God, I want to be used of you. God, would you please help me? I may not know how. Because a lot of times we don't know how. Or we don't know all the answers. And that's fine. I don't have all the answers. I don't know everything either. But we have surrendered to God, and each day we ask God, and God, would you please use me today? Would you use me today? God, would you please guide me by your Spirit today? I want to do your will today. I want to work to advance your kingdom today. God, I want to be more in tune with your will today. And guide me to maybe who I should give a tract to, or maybe who I should say a word of encouragement to, or who I should preach the gospel to, or maybe who I should do something good to. On and on. We can have a heart like Christ. Maybe we won't live the exact traditions that he lived that time. We won't live the same. We won't dress the same. We probably won't eat the same food. You know, we live a different lifestyle today, but yet we are to be Christians. We are to be Christians regardless. This world is looking for true Christians, if I can say it that way. The world's looking for true Christians. The world is hungry and thirsty for the truth, but yet they're not seeing it. They're not seeing it. And they're not seeing it because for so many of us, we aren't living a Christ-like life. We're good people, very good people, but not living a true Christ-like life as we see in God's Word. I want you to see this. I'm way out of time. I got a few minutes left. But look with me at verse 36. It says here, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. So verse 35, it says, and Jesus went. So we know Jesus was busy about the things of God, right? Secondly, and at some point, I don't know exactly what point this was in his ministry, but at some point, while he was already busy, it says he saw the multitudes and was moved with compassion. Let me illustrate this and I'll close. When I'm at home, which isn't very often these days because we're traveling a lot full-time and rarely ever home, and when I'm there, I'm going about my day, and I might see a speck of dirt on the floor, okay? And I didn't think much of it before, but my wife has informed me that I'm a clean freak, okay? I'm a little obsessed with cleanliness sometimes. And I might see a speck of dirt on the floor, and really, honestly, I don't really care about it. I pass it, I go about my day, I got things to do, right? Way more important than taking care of that piece of dirt on the floor. But after I passed it 2, 3, 4, 5 times, at some point, it starts to bug me. It starts to get on my nerves. And I'm like, man, this needs taken care of. And right? And I'm not talking about a dirty house or just a mess. I'm talking about a little piece, just one little piece of something, right? And so what do? I go to the closet. I get the broom and the dustpan, and I sweep up that little piece of dirt. And while I'm sweeping up this little piece of dirt, I notice over here there's another piece. So I'm already here. I'm already doing this. I might as well. I just sweep up another piece. And I just, over there, there's some more. So I keep going over here and I sweep up some more. And then over here is some more. So I go over here and I sweep up some more. And you know what happens? I end up sweeping half the house. Now, do you think I planned on sweeping half the house that day? No. Did I wake up that morning saying, today, I want to sweep the house. I'm excited. I'm going to sweep the house today. No. I guarantee you not. All the opposite. Right? And how many has that happened to you? Anybody here that's happened to you or something similar? Okay, wonderful, wonderful. And I'm not the only one. Well, let me illustrate. Here's what happened. There was a need of something to be done, okay? Sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ is a need. God, and it's not just a need, it's a command. God commands us multiple times to go tell the world. Now, here we're having Missions Month and to draw our hearts more in tune with Christ and to be like Christ and to do Christ's will and sharing the gospel to the lost in this world, both here and far across the world, is a need, but yet it is a command also. So here's a need, right? I see this need of cleaning up this dirt on the floor, and I start taking action. I take a step of faith to take care of that need. Did I feel like it? No. But I took that step to take care of. I took that step of faith, and faith is action, by the way. So I'm cleaning up this, and while I'm taking care of this need, while I'm moving forward and getting something done in this, I notice over there's some more that needs done, and I'm moved to compassion to do that. Because why not? I'm already here. I'm already doing this. I might as well just do some more. I guarantee you, in your walk with God, in your service to God, and you might say today, but you know today, Benjamin, this thing of really being like Christ and walking with God and this thing of living a Christ-like life, it just seems a little too far-fetched for me. I really don't feel like all that. And that's fine. If we're not close to Christ, we're not going to have that feeling. And by the way, Christian life was designed to be lived by faith, not by emotion. By faith. And faith is that step of faith, is that action going forward, trusting in Christ. And so you take that step of faith in serving in somehow, some way, or giving, or whatever it might be here in your church. And you might not really feel like it, but you know it's something that needs done, so you might always just get it done. And while you're doing that, I guarantee you'll be moved with compassion to do more. Moved with compassion. Let me tell a story here in closing to further illustrate this. 2014, I moved back to the U.S. And I moved back here to work. And during that, there's years of work. I went into business here. I went back to Argentina every year to visit family. And in 2017, I went to visit family. And after being there a while, I got stuck in an airport in a different part of the country. I'm on my way back here, and I missed my flight. Okay, and during that time, I called up a missionary, and he came and picked me up. And he picked me up at the airport. And I got to spend a week with him. I remember that week we had a great time together. But the very next day, he said, "Benjamin, how about we go out soul winning? Let's go invite people to church and let's go tell people about Christ and so on." So we did. We went out soul winning, and I remember that week we knocked on doors and told people about Christ and just had a great time, and it was a lot of fun. And we got to go for roughly 4 hours a day, about four different days that week. And in that time period, Pastor, we couldn't get out of four square blocks. Reason being, these people really wanted to hear. And you go to one house and you maybe knock on the door. In Argentina, it's tradition, you clap your hands and people come out. And we'd open scripture and we'd take 15, 20, 30 minutes sharing the gospel message with them. And they're intentionally listening. And then you go to the next door and the same, and the next door and the same. And everybody wanted to hear. And I remember it was so exciting to see these people really wanted to hear about Christ's message of hope Christ offers. And I remember that weekend, after all said and done, the missionary said, "Benjamin, I'm going to show you the city God's called me to reach." City at that time, about 1.5 million people. And I remember we started on the interstate on the south side of town and of the city, and we started going north. And as we went up north, he points off to his left and he says, "Benjamin, look over here. Here's a section of the city where there lives about 250,000 people. And I don't think they've ever heard clear gospel presentation." I remember we went a ways further and about the middle of the city or so, and the second time he points off to his left. He says, "Benjamin, look over here. Here's another section of the city as we go along, and here lives about 250,000 people. And Benjamin, to my knowledge, they've never heard a clear gospel presentation." I remember that day, that evening, we get to the far north side of the city. And for the third time, this time he points off to his right, and he says, "Benjamin, look over here. Here lives about 230 to maybe 250,000. And I don't think they've ever heard a clear gospel presentation." I remember I went back to his house that day, and I went to the room I was staying in, and I broke down and cried. And I remember asking God that day and saying, "God, why is it these people want to hear, but yet they don't have someone telling them?" And I question God. I say, "God, it's not fair. It's not right that these people, they really want to hear. And I know they want to hear because we were talking to these people this week. These people want to hear, but yet there's no one here to tell them. What's one missionary for 1.5 million people? There's only so much you can do." And in that time of prayer, in that time of questioning God, God brought this verse to mind. And verse 37, I believe it is. If you look with me there, it says, "Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous." The harvest is plenteous. By the way, the harvest is plenteous today. Somewhere in the world is plenteous. It's always plenteous. And it goes on to say, "The laborers, but the laborers are few." And that day, God pointed his finger right at me. He said, "You know what, Benjamin? You know what the problem is? It's not my fault that those people will die and go to hell. It's Sometimes I hear people say, oh, but a just God, a good God, a loving God, surely wouldn't send people to hell. You know, God does love humanity. The Bible tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his son. The love of God, we can't even comprehend, it's so great. And you know, Jesus Christ, he's done his part. He's paid the price. He's done his work. He's come to earth. He's lived here. He went to the cross. 3 days later, he rose from the dead and he's in heaven. He's done his part of the deal. And now it is our responsibility to take that message and share it. And he also, it's not even just that. His Holy Spirit, God continues to work today, nonstop, through his Holy Spirit in our hearts, trying to draw us closer to him, telling us, hey, hand that person a tract. How many times have you felt an urge to maybe hand someone a tract at a gas station or somewhere, and you don't do it? I'm guilty. More times than I can count. The Holy Spirit's continually prying us and saying, please, please serve me. Please live for me. Please do what's right. I want to use you, and yet we continually push to the side. No, I want to live my own life. I want to do my will. I want to do my thing. You see, that was my life at the time. I was living here in the U.S., running a business, making good money, having a good life. I was a good person. I was faithful in church. I'd give. I was serving in church. I was a really good person in church. No doubt about it. But yet, I wasn't really being the Christ-like person with that heart that Christ wants us to have. I had my goals and my dreams, my purpose is not God's. And God that day pointed his finger at me and made it very obvious, Benjamin, these people will die and go to hell because you're not willing to live a Christ-like life. By the way, a Christ-like life is death to self. It's part of it. And saying, God, I'll give up my goals and dreams. I'll give up what I want. I want to do your will. Jesus Christ had to die to self and they do God's will. And the world today is passing into eternity so fast. So fast. About 2 people per second. Passing into eternity. Today, 934 Argentines approximately went into eternity. And we figure, we guess 90% of the country's probably not heard a clear gospel presentation. What's that mean? 934, probably the vast majority aren't in heaven today. And it's not because God doesn't love them. It's not because God hasn't done his part. God's continually doing his part. He's doing his part even right now in our hearts saying, would you please live for me? His Holy Spirit's convicting it. And we all know that next step we need to take in our Christian life and what we need to do in obedience. And yet, because we hold back and because we don't live for Christ the way we should, the way we know God wants us to, people both near and far away will perish and pass into eternity and not in heaven. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. I thank you for everything you've done today. Father, you know that we need you. We need your help. We know the lost world out there, whether they know it or not, they need us to live a Christ-like life, a life of surrender, a life passionate for you. Seek the advancement of your kingdom. Father, I ask, would you please work in our hearts? Would you please draw us closer to you? We need of you, Father. We thank you for everything you've done and everything you'll do. In your name we pray. Amen.